reading of the Word of God, okay? And you pray for Brother Hall. As you can see, I'm carrying a different Bible than what I normally carry. It's not really a Schofield text. It's a King James Bible, but it's not the Schofield Bible or the Oxford Bible that I'm used to. And it's a large print Bible. I had to get something I could see with. Amen. And so it doesn't have any place to outline in it. So I've just had to kind of write down what I wrote down and some scriptures. And we'll bounce from scripture to scripture, okay? And trust the Lord will help us in the subject that I want to try to preach on this morning, that I hope will bring some light to our living and will open up our understanding in some things of God's leadership and dealing within our lives and what God is doing, what God can do, and how God does do things. And so we want to look to Him. If you'll turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 27. That's in our bulletin this morning. I want to use that verse as a text verse to preach from this morning. And so you turn right there. The 27th chapter of the book of Proverbs and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning in the fact that You came to this world and gave Your life as a ransom for our sins. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of God, to be with God's people today and with Your presence. I pray You'll bless every heart and soul that's here. Grant us the divine help and liberty, Lord, that we need this morning to preach, both spiritual power as well as physical ability, physical power. I pray that You'll save sinners and revive Your people, strengthen the hearts and the homes of this church. Bless those that may be listening by radio and those around us today. Give us divine grace to do Your will and to walk in obedience to Thy word. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I hope that you'll bear with me this morning in what I have to say and how I'm going to have to say it, because I don't really have the energy this morning, the strength that I feel like I need, but I'm going to do my best. But I want to read that verse again where the wise man Solomon writing here, and he's drawing down close to closing out this book that we call Proverbs. And it says there, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I want to preach this morning on this thought for a little while, as God would help me, tomorrows that never come. Tomorrows that never come. Now, that may sound kind of strange to you, but in a negative aspect, but we're going to find that as well as the negative aspect, it also has a positive aspect to it as well. And it's not all a curse, but it is a great blessing to some people, and we'll find that out here in just a moment. But he said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." In other words, don't try to be braggadocious. Don't brag and boast about things that you're going to do in the future without consulting God and His will for our life. You know, I think we're bad about that. We look sometimes into the future and things that we want to get done and see get done, and without giving God any consideration at all, we say, "I'll do this and I'll do that on such and such a date or such and such a time. We're going to do this." Well, some people make dates and plans. Many times those plans are never fulfilled. For them, that date never rolls around. For others it does, but for them it doesn't seem to make it. There are some tomorrows. There are some tomorrows in the Word of God that never come. And that word boat there simply means to shine, or it means to make a show. It means to rave. In other words, really, really let people around you know what your plans are and what you're going to do. And it almost leads to the thought that you've got the ability to determine your own destination. But I don't know any one of us here, including myself this morning, that has the power to plan his own destination. For you and I, neither one of us, know what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen 15 minutes from now. I was sitting in Brother Ronnie Simpson's church on a Sunday morning, and or Sunday afternoon one, in a service there. I forget which was morning. I believe it was the morning. And some gentleman in the back, sitting there, and I don't know what his problem was, but he had either a heart attack or a stroke or something. And I'm sure he never expected that to happen in the house of God that morning, but it did. And things that we just don't have control over the future. In fact, the Bible said in Psalm 31 that our times are in thy hands. And how true that is. God holds our time in the palm of his hand. And, you know, there's a verse of scripture in the book of James that really sheds a lot of light and goes along a great deal with what Solomon is saying here in James 4 and verse number 13. James said, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, time, and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." And this is basically saying the same thing that Solomon said. Only here in this verse, in this passage, this gentleman is going to seek wealth. He said he's going into such and such a city, and he's going to be there for a year, and he's going to buy, and he's going to sell, and his plans are to get gain. Now, he don't know whether he'll accomplish any three of those. He doesn't know whether he'll ever make it to the city for one thing. If he does, he doesn't have any guarantee that he'll be there a year for the second thing. And then he certainly doesn't know or understand whether he's really going to gain any wealth or not. So here is a man that is seeking wealth. And I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God that we ought to never make plans without God about trying to become wealthy. You know, I think the greatest thing in life is to find the will of God and live in God's will. And God doesn't want everybody to be poor, and God doesn't want everybody to be rich. God knows what everybody can handle in their life, and that's what God will give them if we'll let Him. But there's like this gentleman, rather than seeking God, he went out to seek wealth. I want to say to you, that's sin. According to the Bible, that is sin. There's no question about it. We ought to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the Bible said that all these other things would be given unto us. And so here's a man that goes out seeking wealth and makes plans to do it, but he has no guarantee that it's going to be done. And possibly, I think the way the scripture reads, it says, "For what is your life? It is just a vapor that appears for a time and then vanisheth away." I can't be dogmatic about it, but I really am led to believe that this man that made these plans, that for him that day never arrived. That for him that his tomorrow never did show up. He's got big plans. He's going to make a lot of money. And making a lot of money, no doubt he's got plans to do a lot of other things with it. But there's only one problem. For him that day never showed up. And notice if you will, he said in verse 16, "But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil." Not only is this man seeking wealth, but this man is self-confident. He is self-confident. He is boasting, and he is rejoicing in that boasting. And he's got a lot of self-confidence. You know, we ought to never put our confidence in man. Place it within ourselves. I want to tell you, He is the vine, and we are the branches. And ladies and gentlemen, without Him, we can absolutely do nothing. That's right. And we ought never to be self-confident. I believe that we can do within ourselves anything. It is God that giveth us the ability, whatever it might be, to do and to accomplish in this life what God wants us to. God gives us wisdom. God gives us knowledge. God gives us great abilities. God gives us understanding. God gives us so many things to enable us and help us that we ought to never take things for granted and to believe that we are have so much confidence in ourselves that we can do that. And by the way, when we act in that manner, I believe according to the Bible that we are presuming upon God. We're almost demanding God to allow these things to happen. And you know, that's just not the way God does it. God brought us into this world, and I know you may get tired of hearing this, but when God brought you and I into this world, God had a plan and a purpose for us. And it's our responsibility to find out, number one, what that plan is, what that purpose is, to get in God's will and let God fulfill all that He has in our life. It may not have been God's will at all for this man to even depart from wherever he was. He had to leave where he lived, leave home, go to another city, said, I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell in that city. I'm going to get great gain. Then no doubt his idea is, I'm going to come back home with great gain, and we're going to live happily ever after. You know, I found out a long time that fairy tales many times don't come true. We are the world's worst. People are terrible about conjuring up what I would call fairy tales. Things they believe that are going to happen. Things they want to happen. Things that they try to make happen within their own power. In doing so, they just forget all about God and what God wants for them. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We stray outside the will of God. And when we get outside the will of God, we are in big trouble, ladies and gentlemen. We get outside the will of God, we're out from under the canopy of the protection of God, and we better be careful in doing that. I've known people that have left the church. I'm going to leave the church, and I'm going over here and make money. Well, do they ever give any thought about a church being over there? May I say this to you? You ought to never leave where you are, regardless of how bad it may seem, to go somewhere and try to make a living if there's not a fundamental, and I want to say this for all you listeners out there, an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church that you can go to. You're going to find yourself outside the will of God. And I'm telling you, you're not going to accomplish these things outside the will of God. Now, hey, if this man would have said, God told me to go to this city, amen, and there I'm going to buy and sell and get gain. And by the way, while I'm there, there's a church there that I'm going to attend. And if there's not one there that I can attend, I'm going to pray God will call me to preach and let me start one there. Amen. That ought to be the will of God for our lives. Somebody say amen, amen or oh me. That's right. And so this guy was seeking wealth and self-confidence, and he just didn't make it. There's a story of another man, almost in a similar fashion, in the book of Luke, and chapter number 12. If you want to turn in your Bibles there, Luke and chapter number 12. Now, I hate to take time to read all this, but it's in verse 19. That's not where I'm going. I'm sorry. Chapter number 12. I'm reading in the wrong chapter. And in verse number 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Then he spake this parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. He said, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God, that little old three-letter word, but. But God said unto him, thou fool,
for you to believe that, he said, you're a fool. Now, I didn't call that man a fool. The Bible said we oughtn't to call any man a fool, but God's got the right to do that. God said, thou fool. And here's what made him a fool. He had made all these plans on what he's going to do on tomorrow, but that night God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is going to be required of thee. Here is a man that had some big plans, but his tomorrow never come, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm saying again, we better be careful making plans without God, because some days that tomorrow may never come. Now, can I show you the difference in this man and the first man? The first man went seeking wealth. But here's a man that's already possesses wealth. He's got wealth. He's got all, this man has got more than he'll ever need in his life to sustain him. But you know something? Hey, he is so greedy that he begins to covet and he wants more. He said, what am I going to do? He said, I know what I'll do. I'll just pull down bigger barns and I'll build bigger barns, pull down my barns, build bigger barns. I'll bestow all my fruits. Then he said, I'm going to just lay back and enjoy life, take it easy for the rest of my day. Because I said, tell my soul, just take it easy because you've got enough to last you all your lifetime. May I say this? That before he ever tore those barns down, he had enough to last him through his lifetime anyway. Okay, there's so many people today that are so greedy and they're full of covetousness. Hey, and they're not satisfied with what God's given them. They got to have more, and they're going to labor to get more. And even if they have to labor outside the will of God and get away from the will of God to get more, they're going to get more if they can. And this man tried it, but he said, thou fool, this not thy soul may be required of thee. Now, there's a couple of things about that man. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That man got settled down in it. He just settled down with what he had. Settled down with what he had, but he never was satisfied with what he had. Never was satisfied with what he had. But his problem was he forgot God. Now I'm telling you, so often our plans for the future will force us or make us forget God in our life. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord, always put God first. I don't care what it costs us. What it costs us, we ought to always put God first. Somebody said, have you done that? I've tried to do that. And I'm not boasting or I'm not bragging, but I'm telling you, God's taking care of me. Lord, being my helper tonight, I'm going to preach on the thought, I once was young, but now I'm old. And I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I have been there, done that, got a t-shirt. And son, God has blessed me and helped me. I may not be the richest man in the world, but I've got all that I'll ever need, ladies and gentlemen. God has blessed me in a wonderful way. And if you look back and take time to count your blessings, I'm telling you, that say, God has blessed you in like manner. He said He had never failed you and never forsake you, and He will not do it. But this man had all he'd ever need, but he wanted more. The other fellow wanted it. But this man had all he'd ever need, and he wanted more. But he had a problem. He forgot God. But God said, thou fool, you've got some big plans. And then he went on to say this. I might as well say this. In so many words, he asked that man, when your soul is required of you, who's going to wind up with all you've laid up? Now I want you to come on in the house a minute, children. Brother Doug Thompson will say, what are we going to do with everything we've laid up? I'm going to tell you what we better be considering. Are you listening to me? We better be considering taking what we have and investing it in the bank of heaven. Amen. If we'll invest in the bank of God, we'll fare a whole lot better in this life and in that life which is to come. By the way, it all belongs to Him anyway. Everything that we have belongs to God. He gave it to us. We come into this world naked and without a dime or a penny. I started saying in our pocket, but we didn't even have a pocket to put it in. And everything that we have, God has given us. That's right. Now, stay right with me. That guy's tomorrow didn't come. God said, thou fool. Now, listen to me carefully.
in Luke chapter number 23. In Luke chapter number 23. I'm going to turn there for just a moment. Crucifixion of our Lord. The Bible said in verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Can I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question. Which one of those men's tomorrow never came? I don't hear many answers. Now I say to you, the one that got saved, his tomorrow never came. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today! Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, I'm going to tell you, that ought to thrill your soul and my soul. Hey, here is a fellow that is hanged on a cross in condemnation, that is a sinner that's on his way to hell, but his faith in Christ delivered him, ladies and gentlemen, from that cross. And that day, not on tomorrow, hey, the other fellow, his tomorrow came. You know where it came? In hell, in the pit. Amen, in the pit. His tomorrow came in the pit, but that one thief that believed in Christ, his tomorrow never came. By the way, there'll be no more tomorrows for him. I'm glad, thank God, that I'm going to a land where there'll be no more tomorrow. I don't have to worry about making up my own plans, wondering whether I'm in the will of God. I'm going to know that I'm in the will of God. I'm in the presence of God for all time and eternity. Somebody can say amen right there. There's coming a day when God will require the soul of you and I that are saved by the grace of God, and there'll be no more tomorrows for us. Tomorrow will not come. It didn't come for that man. That old thief repented on the cross. I hope I don't drown myself this time. He repented and got saved by the grace of God. And then I want to say too, that there was another fella. Now, I'm not going to turn there because I know the story so well. You can if you want to in Luke 16. There was a fellow there that was clothed in royal apparel, fared sumptuously every day. Very rich man, a certain rich man. Had all that this life that could offer him. But the Bible said the rich man died. I wonder what his plans were on that tomorrow. He may have intended to get up that morning and walk through the gate and spit on Lazarus like he had done so many other times. Or laugh at old Lazarus, the beggar. Poke fun at him for being poor. He may have had plans to do that. But his plan, hey, his tomorrow didn't come. The Bible said that the rich man died. And in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment. There's some old folks that their tomorrow don't ever come. I don't know that he spit on Lazarus. The Bible doesn't say it, but I will say this. That every day Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores, and the dogs came and licked those sores. And there's no question about it, that rich man had to pass by him every single day that he left his house and had to look at that beggar in there. Don't you know that Lazarus was a witness to that man, the fact that he was a sinner and needed the grace of God? Somebody said, who was the wealthy man there? It certainly wasn't that guy that was dressed real nice. Wasn't that guy in a three-piece suit? Wasn't that guy driving a Cadillac? No, wasn't that guy that had a big spread now? Wasn't that guy that had a big spread on this earth? I'm going to say, what we have on this earth someday will amount to absolutely nothing. It's nothing but a dunghill. What our treasure is, we ought to be laid up in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly right. Amen. We ought to lay up our treasure in heaven, not on this earth. That old rich man, he thought, well, I've got her made. I've labored all my life and I've got her made. But he got up to go out that gate, probably got out of his bed that morning and never made it to the gate.
Or he may have said the next day, tomorrow I'm going to get up and go downtown. He may have said, tomorrow I'm going to get up and go outside and I'm going to run that beggar off. I'm sick of seeing him laying there. That's what a whole lot of folks try to do, like would like to do to you and I. We try to tell them about Christ. That's what they'd like to do. They'd like to get rid of us, get us out of their hair. They don't want to be troubled. And by the way, you can like this or not, doesn't make any difference to me, but we're living in a political society that literally hates the guts of God's people. We're living in a judicial society that does not like the laws of the land. We have got a society that cares nothing about America. Amen. And about those things that made America, the values that made America what America is today, they care nothing about. But I'm here to tell you, I'm going to keep on preaching the gospel of Christ. Amen. I'm going to keep on loving America with all of my heart, mind, and soul as I do Christ, and doing all I can to go forward in Jesus and to thank God for my country. Amen. They got all upset out in Kansas. Yes, sir. Called Sam Brownback. Signed into law. That anyone out there tried in the courts of that state would be tried according to the law of America. Amen. A bunch of Muslims got upset about it. Because they want to be tried under the Sharia law. May I say to you that that's not a law. It's a religion. And if they try them according to the rules of their religion, they'll have to try everybody according to the rules of their religion. Amen. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I know where I'm at. Let's go. I'm telling you, we better wake up. Somebody said, why? Because we're living in a generation that tomorrow may not come for us. I'm telling you, they're closing in on us. They're doing, the devil is doing everything that he can to use religious people to destroy God's people. And he's always done that. It's always that religious crowd. I've never been bothered too much by sinners lost and going to hell. It's always that religious crowd that's got their little phony doctrine. Wine bibbers, 5-point Calvinists, amen right there. The rest of that crowd, okay? Armenians and the rest, come on in the house. Amen! It's always that religious crowd that's done their best to destroy me, but I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God I am what Paul said, and by the grace of God I continue on until this very day, ladies and gentlemen. I may not have tomorrow, but while I've got today, I'm going to preach my heart out and tell you that Jesus saves. There's one that died on Calvary's cross to redeem your fallen soul. Amen. From the depths of hell. Now I'm telling you, better put your faith in Christ and live for the glory of God to escape the torment and damnation of hell. That's right. I've got some problems. Health problems. I don't know how much longer I got. I told my wife yesterday, I got up out of bed and sat up for a while and read. Got up about 4 o'clock. That afternoon, I got to feeling so bad. I'm honest, I thought I was going to die. I just felt completely drained of everything. I told her, I said, I'm going to bed. And I didn't know whether I'd get up out of that bed. But I made up my mind, if I got out of that bed and made it to the house of God, that I wasn't going to hold back anything. Amen. You know what they asked me down there in pre-op the other day, last Wednesday? They said, they read in my records. They said, we see you preach from a stool. Do you preach from it? I just sat there. That doctor said, do you preach from a stool? I said, I want to feel like it. I didn't tell him I never did feel like it. Amen. Amen. Someday I may have to. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be like Uncle Bud Robinson. I'm going to keep on biting at the devil. I'm going to keep on preaching against sin. Amen. Amen. I don't like either one of them. Amen. You know why? They kinfolk. Amen. They kinfolk. Amen. Sin and Satan, they kinfolk. I don't like either one of them. I don't like drunks. Amen. I don't like whoremongers. I don't like child abusers. I don't. That's right. I don't like any of that. I love the sinner. Amen. But I certainly ain't got any use for the sin. Amen. I'm going to tell you why. The wages of sin is death, ladies and gentlemen. But there's that little but. Amen. But the gift of God is eternal life. Bless His wonderful name. That's right. And Adam all died, but in Christ all are made alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. That's right. We was out there talking, I think, Friday. We was talking about the scriptures, and I said, you know what it says over in the book of Revelation? I said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Jesus said, and let whosoever will come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. What an invitation. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, says, come. Amen. The Bride, which is you and I, tell sinners to come. But then Jesus said, let whosoever will come and drink of this water of life freely. I'm glad, thank God, there's a fountain flowing. Woo! Woo! There's a fountain of living water. And it's a springing up in my soul right now, praise God. Amen. I feel it a springing up. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Amen. Let her spring up a little bit. Some of y'all ought to let it spring up a little bit. Wouldn't hurt you. It wouldn't hurt you at all. No, sir. Now, where was I at? I was springing up, wasn't I? That rich man. I think, and I'm not going to turn to none of these because my time's gone. And my body is too. But I think about Paul in Acts 20, verses 24 through 26, if you want to read there. And Paul stood before a man by the name of Felix while he was being tried for treason. He stood before a man by the name of Felix. The Bible said, while Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness and temperance and judgment, the Bible said, old Felix began to tremble. Here's what he said. He said, go thy way! And I'll call thee in a more convenient season. I'll call thee in a convenient season, I believe it says. Right. You know what he was saying? It's not a convenient time right now for me to do this, Paul. Amen. You see all these people around me, Paul. He trembled. You'll never tell me God wasn't dealing in his heart. Hey, there was an inward work going on inside that old boy's heart. The Holy Ghost had him all shook up. And it wasn't Elvis that had him shook up either. It was the Holy Ghost of God had him all shook up, friend. And he was trembling with all them people sitting around him. He couldn't cave into that. What? He'd yield into that? It'd make him look like a baby. Make him look like a child. Like a fool. He said, here's what he told me. He said, come by another, I'll call you when it's convenient. You know the problem was, never did get convenient. His tomorrow never did come. Felix had his opportunity. He had his chance, but his tomorrow never came. Boast not. Boast not of what you're going to do on tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring. Tomorrow may never come, ladies and gentlemen. It's today, behold, today. It's not yesterday or tomorrow. Behold, today is the day of salvation. I'm telling you under the Word of God, according to the Word of God and in my soul, there's some of you in here this morning that's never been to Calvary, never been redeemed by the grace of Almighty God. You need to be saved today. Not tomorrow, today, tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may never come. That's right. Now, who was I preaching on? Felix? There was another fella. Old Paul was talking to by the name of Agrippa. And Paul kept just testifying. Somebody said, well, I don't know what to tell anybody. All Paul done to Felix, all Paul done to Agrippa, was told him what happened to him on the road to Damascus. You know what Agrippa said? He said, almost. Almost. Just not for enough, but almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Isn't that sad? I wonder how many people have sat in the pews of Baptist churches and the Holy Ghost has almost persuaded them to be a Christian. Old Griffin said, Paul, you've said so much. And by the way, Paul when he started, he said, it gives me pleasure to talk, speak for myself, O King Agrippa, because I know that you know everything about the laws of the Jews. You know everything that pertains to our law. In other words, he's saying, you know everything about our religious beliefs. And Paul began to elaborate on that and preach a little bit and testify a little bit. And old Agrippa said, almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Don't be an almost.
Amen.
You know what? I don't find anywhere in the Bible, are you listening to me, where God ever spoke to Agrippa again. I don't find anywhere where God ever spoke to Felix again. I don't find anywhere where God ever spoke to either one of those rich men again. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where God ever spoke to that thief on the cross a second time. Oh no. I'm going to tell you, tomorrows may never come, folks. I'm telling you, if God speaks, it's now. It may be now or never. It may be now or never. Now I'm just about done. I've got two more thoughts and I'm done. I think about another time. Now you bear with me. Because this is positive stuff now. There was a time when Paul's life, when he was taken by the Jews and was going to be sent to be judged for his spiritual crimes. And in Acts chapter number 23, verses 12 through 15, there was a band of men that sent word to the chief captain and said, hey, said, we're about above 40 men, said, we've bound ourselves together. And said, we're not going to eat or drink a thing till Paul's dead. Said, you bring him down this way tomorrow. And that'll be a signal to us. If ever you bring him down this way, we're ready to kill him. You know what? Them fellas tomorrow never did show up. They must have starved, slapped to death. Because they made an oath that they had never drank or eaten until they killed Paul. They didn't get the job done. They said, on tomorrow, bring him down, we're going to kill him. Hey, you know what? Get a hold of this now. Tomorrow don't come sometimes when there's a divine intervention involved.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, God divinely intervened on behalf of old Paul.
Amen.
And the tomorrow never came for that crowd, ladies and gentlemen. Aren't you glad, thank God, that we're protected by the almighty hand of a sovereign God that's got the power to hold the universe within His hand and do whatsoever He will with the hearts of men? And then the heart of the king holds their very heart in the palm of his hand. He can even tell the river, turn left, turn right, go uphill, downhill. One thing I have never understood. Now, can you get a hold of this? I've driven up that gorge from Tennessee and North Carolina. I don't know how many times. You know where it's at, Interstate 40. You know where it's at, Brother Andy, that gorge. And you know what? As you're going up that mountain, there's a river over there. Is it the Pigeon Forge River? Is that what it is? Or something? But that river's always running. Now here you are going uphill, but that water's always running. It looks to me like that water just all of a sudden just and be gone. But don't. You know why? God carved that river out. Told it to run downhill and told it how fast to run downhill and when to hit the bottom. And what to do when it got to the bottom.
That's right.
Somebody was talking about Niagara Falls the other day, about how much water went over Niagara Falls. May I say to you that God told Niagara Falls how much water to run over?
Amen.
He did. In one day, He said, here's how much I want to run over you. And I'm going to tell you, that much is still running over it.
Amen.
Do you not believe that God holds the world in His hands? I do. You better believe He does. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. That's right. And they said, we're going to kill old Paul. They forgot about God's divine intervention.
Amen.
There was one step between David and death, but there was a divine intervention.
Yep.
I wonder how many times that you've come that close to death and God divinely intervened in your life and probably we didn't even realize it was God. Anybody in here ever been in an automobile accident and you don't can't see how you got out of that thing alive? I'm going to tell you how you got out of alive. Divine intervention. Providence of God, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, there he goes on that. Yeah, there I go on that because I believe that. That's right. By the way, every one of us in here that are saved, we're invincible to what God's done with us.
That's right. Amen.
We ain't going anywhere until God's finished with us.
Amen.
Then I've got one more. You don't need to turn there either. You can turn there. I'm not going to. But in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, there was a man by the name of Elijah. No, Elijah met a man by the name of Ahab. Ahab said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?"
Yeah.
Elijah said, "It's not me that troubles Israel. But it says it's you and all your idolatry and your sin.
Man.
And Jezebel, your wife, that's who troubles Israel."
Yeah,
and old Elijah went up on that mountain. They took that sacrifice and carved it up. Those prophets of Baal carved up their sacrifice, began to cry, "Oh Baal, oh Baal, whom papa 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 whom papa papa." They began to cry out to Baal. Baal never answered. Elijah looked over and said, "What's wrong with your God? Is he taking a nap? Maybe he's on vacation." Then he probably said, "By the way, my God never slumbers or sleeps. And he don't ever go on a vacation. He doesn't need to refresh himself. He's always fresh. He doesn't need to get strength. He's always got strength. In fact, he's all powerful. He can't be any more powerful than he is. He's all powerful." And they cried and cried and couldn't get the job done. No, Paul put that sacrifice on there and prayed 63 words and the fire of God fell. They poured water around it, licked up the water, licked up the sacrifice, licked up the dust all around it. He went up on the mountain and prayed.
Amen.
Told his servant, said, "You go see what do you see out?" He came back and said, "I don't see nothing." He said, "Go seven more times." He went seven more times and he came back and he said, "I see a cloud out there about the size of a man's hand." Elijah said, "Go tell Ahab to get down lest the rain catch him in the gate."
Amen.
And Elijah headed for Jezreel. And Elijah went down off that mountain and ran him to the gates of Jezreel on foot.
Amen.
Pretty tough, ain't it? But in chapter 19, when Jezebel heard about what Elijah had done, she sent one of her servants, said, "You go tell Elijah that if tomorrow about this time, he's going to be just like one of them." You know something? Tomorrow never came.
Amen.
Oh, we criticize old Elijah for going down that juniper tree, but I'm going to tell you something. It's all in the plan of God. Yeah. On tomorrow. Tomorrow, the man of God, she said, "On tomorrow, that man of God, he's going to be me and mine. He'll be dead this time tomorrow." But you know something? Tomorrow never came.
Amen.
Old Elijah went on down with that juniper tree, got up out of that, under that juniper tree and ran up and got in the cave, come out of that cave, went and anointed Hazael, went and anointed Elisha, and went and anointed Jehu in his place. But in chapter number 2 of 2 Kings, somebody said, "Well, he must have died. He disobeyed God and went down under a juniper tree, got all sorry, felt so sorry for himself." I wonder if he was feeling sorry for himself when he was there with Elisha. And that chariot of fire came by and split him asunder. And old Elijah went up in a whirlwind. I'm telling you that. God, he's one of two men I know in the Bible and made around this world alive, thank God.
Amen.
That's why I believe they're going to be the two witnesses in Revelation 19 that come and die. Hey, they're going to do battle with the false prophet and the beast. So eventually they're overcome. But I'm going to tell you in 3 days, they're going to get up and just stand up and all the world's going to stand in amazement how they laid there dead. They never decayed, by the way.
Amen.
Their bodies never did stink. But they're coming. God said, get up, boys. They just stood up. And that crowd said, unto the Lord. I've never seen anything like this.
Amen.
Neither have I. But there's coming a day. I want everybody to listen now. There's coming a tomorrow.
Amen.
For you and I. And it will come.
Amen.
When there will be a shout from heaven, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And Jesus is going to say, get up!
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, hey, we're going to get up!
Amen.
Incorruptible!
Amen.
And this mortal will put on immortality, and death will be swallowed up in victory. And by the grace of God, we'll be caught up to meet our Lord in the air. And so, I won't say that again, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, friend. We're always, tomorrow's coming. It's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming.
Amen.
I won't be ready for it.
Amen, amen.
There's tomorrows that never come. But there's going to be one tomorrow that's coming for you and I. As sure as we're standing where we are and sitting where we are in the house of God this afternoon. I want to ask you a question in closing. Are you saved?
Amen.
Do you know you've been to Mount Calvary? Do you know you've trusted in Jesus? Do you know you're His child? Do you know you've been born again? If you don't tarry another moment.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, listen. Tomorrow may never come. I could tell you stories of people I know personally that give their word that they'd be in church. But that night their soul was required of them. Their tomorrow didn't come. I could tell you story after story. But I'm not a skyscraper preacher. I've heard a lot of that lately.
Amen.
I like to use Bible illustrations if I can.
Amen.
What about it? Can I ask you this? Do you have a yesterday and a yonder that you might have a tomorrow?
Amen.
Yesterday when you met Christ at a yonder place, as Abraham did on that mountain, that you might meet Him tomorrow. Let's stand together.